promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Welcome to officially number 264, or even though it says 265 on the slide background and on the thumbnail, due to circumstances out of control, 264 and 265 episodes have been flipped, and you're going to get my review of Argyle. It's a veritable who's who in the breakdown of the cast, but it is a Michael Vaughan film. You may know him from such films as Kick-Ass and Kingsman of the Secret Service. And even though people do not like The Kingsman, I really do. I thought that was really funny. Rhys Ifans was pretty brilliant in that film. Anyway, back to Argyle. So Matthew Vaughan, a director that knows how to do this kind of film. So you would have thought that this film would be a surefire hit. In actual fact, it cost over $200 million to make, and it grossed $18 million at the opening weekend in the box office in USA and Canada. It is very long, at 2 hours and 20 minutes, and therein again lies the problem. I will keep saying this, and not that it's going to get through, but if you need a film to be 2 hours and 20 minutes long to get your story out, then there's a problem. Unless it's an epic like Terminator or something like that, but even that I don't think was as long as this film. You know, there's been some really good deep films, but from the 2000s, from like 2010, every single film pretty much has a runtime of 2 hours. Why? So they can pack more story? No, absolutely not. So they can leave longer pauses without anything happening. Now, Argyle, I was actually quite looking forward to. It's the first action film of the year, and you know it along the lines of Mission Impossible and all that kind of stuff. We have a really good concept for a film where a reclusive writer writes stories that people absolutely love, but they're stories that lead to actually coming true. And they're playing along while she's writing the stories. Now, I'm not going to give away the twist, because I actually think that is probably one of the best parts of the movie. Also, another part of the movie is the excessive use of CGI. Now, when this is done well, CGI can and will enhance a film, and obviously it makes it a bit cheaper to make. But having spent $200 million on a film which does have Henry Cavill in it for about 5 minutes total, I mean, this is a 2 hour and 20 minute runtime, it does have John Cena in it, who's in even less. Why cast John Cena in this role if you're going to pay him extortionate amounts of money? I'm sure he's not complaining, when we just can't see him. And that is, if you didn't get it, a reference. Oh, I'm not going to explain my own jokes. Yes. So that is, you know, two big stars that you could have saved a lot of money on. I get it. Matthew Vaughn has worked with Henry Cavill. John Cena is becoming really popular now, like Dave Bautista before him. It also stars Sam Rockwell, who does a great job with this film, and a hokey script. And you would hope that, again, this script would be so out there, so audacious, that it would be fun to watch. But in actual fact, I found myself really bored. And I was taken out of the film by one of the first scenes, where there's a motorbike riding down a windy road in Greece, and it looks bad. I mean, it looks terrible. They've used CGI, and it looks absolutely awful. I'm not saying there's no effort put into this, but how hard is it to get someone to ride a bike down a windy road? Come on. I mean, it's terrible. Considering we've had films that do where there is actual stunts very recently, this just annoys me so much. It's also got Bryan Cranston in it. Bryce Dallas Howard plays Ellie Conway. Like I say, you've got Sam Rockwell, and you've also got Catherine O'Hara, of course, famous for being Kevin McAllister's mum in Home Alone. So you've got a decent cast here. But where did it go wrong? You've got elements here that are actually interesting. It starts off really interesting. So it's like an action movie being played out in the style of a book, a writer. And you've got, you know, someone writing it, and then, you know, you've got little scenes where she's writing, she has a brain fog moment, and the actors also stop. And I thought that was really cool, you know, and it's not like it hasn't been done before, but I did think that was really cool. And that could have been the story going through. But they change it up. The story becomes real. You've then got a spy movie on your hands. One of the biggest problems with this film, because it's a spy movie, you'd expect there to be violence in it. You know, spies, guns, laser beams, freaking laser beams, sharks with laser beams on their freaking heads, and all of that jazz. One of the biggest problems is that it's a 12A because they wanted to get more people, more bums on seats. Unfortunately, clearly they did not. And they're just blowing money down the tubes. January, beginning of February, tends to be like the movie graveyard for Hollywood. Films that they think are not going to do very well. And they end up not doing very well. Even though this has been heavily advertised, the trailer looked good. Obviously, you've got the element of the cat in there as well. What's the role of the cat? Well, he just sort of hangs about, does a few things. I thought the cat was pretty cool, to be honest. It's probably the better part of the CGI, because they obviously couldn't use a real cat. They do use a real cat at some points, but can't use a real cat. Bryan Cranston plays a really good villain. Cast him more as the villain. He could absolutely play the villain here, and he does. Catherine O'Hara, brilliant villain. Brilliant, absolutely fantastic. But then it loses itself as to what it wants to actually be. And there's some really cool elements in here, some really cool like sound design, some really cool hand-to-hand combat, absolutely brilliant. But when it comes to like car chases, it just dies a death. And then you've got a scene that's just, it should not work, and it doesn't. It's so dumb, it's unbelievable. And usually I like popcorn flicks, but I found myself so bored that I was looking at my watch, hoping it was going to be finished. And as soon as the trailers hit, I was out of there. I can't recommend this film. I really can't. It's split decisions. It's split opinions. Some people love it. Some people have given it 10 out of 10. Some people have gone down the middle. and some people are closer to the, and that's how you're always going to get movie reviews. And I'm not saying don't go and see it. If you want to go and see it, go and see it, make up your own mind. But I can't, in my own head, recommend this film and say it's good, because it's not. It's an expensive, a waste of money, and a waste of 2 hours and 20 minutes of my time. Like I say, it starts off really well and then just completely loses itself. Doesn't know what it's going to be. Doesn't know what it wants to be. Rant over. Like I say, we've got more coming. Got the holdovers coming real soon. I've heard that it's going to be really good. I've heard it is really good. The Iron Claw, amongst others as well. So we're hopefully going to hear from you then. If you've seen this film, let us know what you thought of it. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all that kind of stuff. If you're on the YouTube, if you're on the YouTube channel, if you're on the podcasting channel, do the same thing. You're listening to us on the way home. Thank you very much for letting us join you on your ride home from work or school. And I will see you next time, movie fans. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye. Hiya!